ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning's reading is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 13, text 3 to 5. So I will just read the text, translation to text 3 and 4, then we will chant the text 5 together. So this is text 3, the chapter entitled Brahma Stealing the Boys and the Cows. So this is translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Prabhupada, to text 3 and then 4. O King, kindly hear with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual masters explain the submissive to a submissive disciple even the subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. Text 4. Then after saving the boys and the calves from the mouth of Agasura, who was the death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the banks of the river and spoke the following words. Aho trimayam pulinam vyayasya. Seva kali sampam mrudha Mrudhul lacha bhakulam. Srutat sarogandha hartali patrika. Dvani prati dvana lasa dhruma kulam. Aho. Oh, Ati Ramyam, very, very beautiful. Pulinam, on the bank of river, on the bank of the river. Vyayasya, my dear friends, Swakali Sampat, full with all paraphernalia for pastimes of play. Mridulacha Bakulam, the very soft and clean sandy banks. Sprutat, in full bloom. Saraganda, by the aroma of the lotus flower. Rita, attracted. Ali, of the bumblebees. Patrika, and of the birds. Dhvani patri dhavan, the sounds of their chirping and moving, and the echoes of these sounds. Lasat, moving all over. Dhruma kulam, full of nice trees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. My dear friends, just see how this riverbank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and the chirping of the bees and the birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees of the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are very clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes. Purport. The description of Vrindavan forests are given herewith was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago. And the same condition prevailing during the times of the Vaishnava Acharyas 300 or 400 years ago. Kujat kukokila hansa sarasa gana krina mayura kule. Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, kokila, ducks, hansa, and cranes, sarasa. And it is also full of peacocks, mayura kule. The same sound and atmosphere still prevails in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described herein. Kujat kokila hansa sarasa. Om jnana trimananjasya jnananjana salakaya chakshusunmitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvaseisa Sunnavadi Bhakshacha Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So in this chapter is describing the stealing of the boys and calves by Lord Brahma. But in the beginning part, Sukadeva Goswami is making a very important point in the third text, where he's saying, O King, kindly hear me with great attention. This is the secret. If you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, then here is a statement by the great Sukadeva Goswami, who is telling us how we can actually become perfect by the process of hearing. Yesterday we heard a lot about Shravanam. So Shravanam is the very basic principle of becoming Krishna conscious. Because everything begins with the sound vibration which we hear. From the very beginning of our birth, when we take birth in this material world, we do not have any concept of the sounds. Although we hear many sounds as a young baby, the newborn child, but the child cannot make out what the sounds are all about. But gradually, as the child is growing and his intelligence is blossoming, then the mother will teach the child through sound. So the first things are taught by the mother. That is why the language you speak is called the mother language, because the language comes from the mother. So the child, from the very beginning of his experience in this material world, is experiencing how to live in this material world or how to experience this material world through the sound. And that sound vibration carries on all the way through our life till our last day when we are breathing our last breath. Still at that point, our faculties of the hearing is still perfect. And therefore, it is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj many, many thousands of yugas before, when he spoke that verse where he says, Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasyam Arshanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. So the first principle is Shravanam. Unless and until we make our Shravanam, hearing, perfect, everything else will fail. Although we hear many times many speakers cite from the scriptures, from the previous acharyas, saying that any one of these nine processes of bhakti can give us perfection. But if the beginning is imperfect, then all the other eight processes of bhakti will be imperfect. Because if our Shravanam is not perfect,
What is going to be the state of our kirtanam? Chanting the holy names, chanting the glories of the Lord, speaking about Krishna's pastimes, speaking about Krishna's philosophy which is given in the Bhagavad Gita. All of these things will be imperfect because the very foundation is imperfect. Therefore, we have to make sure our faculty of hearing is perfect. Now, perfection means that once we hear something, it should go deep to the core of our heart, where the soul is. Generally, we hear many different aspects of philosophy, material science, spiritual science, goes to the ears and then goes to the head. And the head is where the intellectual faculties are. We try to understand Krishna through intellectuality. But Prabhupada makes a statement that you cannot understand Krishna through intellectual understanding. You have to understand Krishna through devotion. So here, the first statement of this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is telling to the king, and of course he's not just addressing the king, because when he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was for the prosperity for eternity, for the benefits of you and me in the present day and in the future generations to come, till the whole Brahman is dissolved into the body of Mahavishnu at the end of Lord Brahma's life. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, very important statement of course, with great attention we must hear. Then the next statement he says, although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them. So of course, we come into that category. We are ordinary human beings. There is nothing special about us. So it is impossible for us to understand this transcendental knowledge, very confidential knowledge, which is revealed in the scriptures by, of course, Sukadeva Goswami, and then, of course, there are many acharyas coming after that, giving their commentaries on the scriptures to allow us to have a better understanding. But here is Sukadeva Goswami says, I shall speak about them to you, for spiritual masters. Now it's plural here, spiritual masters. It doesn't say spiritual master, but spiritual masters. Explain the sublime, explain to the submissive disciple even the subject matter that are very confidential and difficult to understand. So it is by the mercy of the spiritual master we can actually understand this very sublime message of transcendental knowledge, which will then free us from our darkness of ignorance. Every morning we sing very beautiful prayer to the spiritual master, and we offer Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada in our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for being so kind and merciful and compassionate to us. And in that prayer by Srila Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, we are singing, he opens my Jai, Sri Gonitai, Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Radha Samsudha. In that prayer, we are singing the praise of a pure devotee, the spiritual master. And what are we singing? We are singing that he opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. So by the mercy of the spiritual master, he can free us from the darkness of ignorance and gives us transcendental knowledge. And this transcendental knowledge, then it goes to the core of your heart, enables you to become firmly fixed in the process of bhakti, in the process of devotional service. So unless and until we have two aspects in our lives. One is attentive hearing, the transcendental words of the previous acharyas in the scriptures. And second, to take mercy from the spiritual master. Now what is the mercy of the spiritual master? Most of us think that when we read the Bhagavad Gita, and it says, Tadvidhi prani pratena, pariprashana sevaya. So pariprashana is not really difficult to understand. We make subjective inquiries from the spiritual master to understand the depth of the knowledge, which is explained here by Sukadeva Goswami, that the submissive disciple, it is revealed to him by the spiritual master. What? The transcendental knowledge. But the next part is sevaya. What is the sevaya? Now, mostly in my experience, I see through my last 44 years in
this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you know, I've come across many devotees in different parts of the world, and they think sevaya means to be very close to the spiritual master. And what we call in the West, hang around with the spiritual master. Hanging around with the spiritual master is not sevaya. Then second, they say, if I do very nice cooking for my spiritual master, that is sevaya. Third, I will do his laundry. Fourth, I will clean his quarters. This is sevaya. But it is a very low level of sevaya. The highest level of seva to the spiritual master is hearing from the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master, out of his compassion, he speaks many instructions to guide the disciples out of darkness, of ignorance, and bring them to knowledge and put them on the track of bhakti. And why it is so important to hear from the spiritual master? Because as Srila Prabhupada said many times, of course, when Srila Prabhupada was speaking, he was speaking from his personal position. He said to his disciples in the early days, I am an old man. I don't know how long I have here. But it is my duty as your spiritual master to instruct you and guide you so that after my departure, you can still continue in your spiritual journey and become more and more matured and more fixed in devotional service. So unless and until we have fixed ourselves in hearing from the spiritual master, and of course here Sukadeva Goswami is saying spiritual masters, so we are very fortunate that ever since the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya started, when knowledge was revealed to Lord Brahma, revealed to Brahma by Krishna, and Krishna gave it to Vyas gave it to Narada gave it to Vyas gave it to Madhva, and then in line of great acharyas are coming down. And we have a very, very healthy library of knowledge and experience of all these great stalwart acharyas. And sometimes it may be difficult to read the literatures written by great acharyas because there is a barrier of language. At least in my experience, we can have full faith in Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada, when he translated these transcendental literatures in the language which you and I can understand, he did it with the pure mood of devotion. That is why his title is Bhakti Vedanta. He's revealing the Vedanta through the process of bhakti. And that is the power of this literature, is that it is perfect, it is spotless, and anybody who takes shelter of reading Srimad Bhagavatam will surely come to the highest platform of bhakti. Our good fortune also is, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he has translated many of the great poems and songs and prayers written by the Vaishnava Acharyas. Now these songs are not just ordinary songs. They are very deep, profound devotion of these particular saintly persons who sang these songs or who wrote these songs, these poems. And if you read these songs and understand them, it is also a complete philosophy in these songs, because it is showing us how to pray to the Supreme Lord, how to do the Vandanam part of the nine process of bhakti. Because generally our Vandanam is what? We come in front of the Lord, we hold our hands, fold our hands together, and then close our eyes. Why we are closing our eyes? Lord is right in front of us, but still we try to see Him with closed eyes. I have still not understood how we can see the Lord with closed eyes. Of course, unless and until you have reached the transcendental platform of pure bhakti, then you see the Supreme Lord in the heart. And that is not seeing with these material eyes, but seeing with the eyes of the soul and seeing the Lord in the heart. But as yet we haven't reached that stage, because we are still wandering in this material world and being bothered by Adidevik, Adibhautik, Adiatmik. So unless until we are free from this, we go to take shelter of the Lord through these eyes. And we come in front of the beautiful form of the Lord, and then what is our prayer? Lord, free me from suffering.
Or we go with a list of want. I want these things. Can you provide these things? So the Lord is not a businessman, or he's not a shopkeeper where you go with your shopping list and then present your shopping list to the Lord. If we want to learn how to make wonderful prayers, then we can learn the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj when he is offering wonderful prayers to Lord Narsingadev. At the same time, when Dhruva Maharaj was fortunate enough to take the darshan of the Lord, he appeared in front of him. And then Dhruva Maharaj, when he was awestruck by the beauty of the Lord, then Lord, out of his compassion, touched his forehead with the conch shell, and the beautiful poetry started flowing from the mouth of Dhruva Maharaj. This is prayers. This is Vandanam. Then we come to Kunti Devi, the prayers of Kunti Devi. And of course, Bhagavatam is full of prayers. Unlimited prayers are there. These are the real prayers. But what are our prayers? Our prayers, free me from the suffering, or go with our list of want, and thinking that if we get all these things, we will be happy. But actually, none of these will make us happy. What will make us happy is that when we actually understand the actual essence is to become free from material attachment. Over and over, Srila Prabhupada mentions many times that we have to become freed from these material attachments. And unless and until we are freed from these material attachments, we are not going to make any progress. And that analogy is given, that you are sitting in a very nice boat, and you've got a very nice paddles, and you have lots of muscles after eating lots of paneer, so you have built the muscles and you're rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. But unless until you free the boat from its anchor, you're not going to make any progress. And what is that freeing your boat from the anchor? It's cutting all the material attachments. Now sometimes the spiritual master, he cuts our knots and we find it a little painful. But because he's our spiritual master, we kindly, humbly sort of say, okay, you know, he's my guru, what can I do? You know, and we bear it. And then there are wonderful Vaishnavas who are as good as a spiritual master, because they are also your Shiksha gurus who are giving you instructions, and they come and give you some guidance and instruct you to free you from your attachment. And what happens? Immediately we become very defensive. Now, of course, when the spiritual master is, we take it on the chin with humility. But when a Vaishnava, out of his compassion, sees that this particular person is attached to certain material sense objects or material desires, and he tries to free us, what happens? We become very defensive. And then in our defensive nature, we begin to commit aparad. And when we begin to do offenses, that is the beginning and the end of your spiritual life. Because remember, all of us, we have come to Krishna consciousness simply by the causeless mercy of the Lord and His pure devotee. If we really look into our own lives, all the activities which we were performing prior to actually becoming, attracted to Krishna consciousness, what were we doing? There was nothing there in those activities which merits us to get Krishna consciousness. But somehow or other, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and that is why I'm saying causeless mercy, without any causes, the Lord very kindly smiles upon you and then gives you connection with Krishna consciousness. And of course, this is a great compassion and mercy shown to the living entities by Srila Prabhupada. He set up this wonderful society, and he toiled day and night writing these transcendental books. For what purpose? Prabhupada was not thinking, I'll become a famous author. People will be praising me, and my books will be selling in millions, and I'll become a billionaire, and I will live in luxury. Prabhupada had none of this. If you look at the lifestyle of Srila Prabhupada, he was living very simply, very humbly. But his main service was to his spiritual master, which was the instruction given to him, that was, preach to the Western world in the language they can understand. You know, Prabhupada, he cannot reach every single person. So of course he came up with this transcendental concept, which was again instructed by his spiritual master. Said, if you get money, you print books. So he prints. He started writing these books. He toiled so much. On top of that, he was establishing the whole society. He was building an empire. For who? For the likes of you and me, so that we can then get shelter in this wonderful society, and then we begin to perform devotional service. Otherwise, we come here and enjoy the facilities, but do not make advancement. Then it is like spoiled rich children of rich men. The father works very hard to build the empire. The children become playboys and enjoy the father's wealth. So we are similarly doing that. We come and enjoy Prabhupada's movement. We come and enjoy Prabhupada's facilities. No, Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's facilities are there for us to become fully fixed in the service of Krishna, in the spirit of devotion. Prabhupada, when he established International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he very clearly stated that this institute is there to facilitate devotional service. So for that purpose, Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to give us this. Now if at all we have any gratitude in our heart, any gratitude for Srila Prabhupada, then how we can repay that gratitude? How we can repay that debt? Is that we can try to become perfect. When we become perfect, then of course that is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, when he becomes pleased, what is the next step? When pure devotee is pleased by our service and he sees that we are making advancement, Krishna becomes pleased. When Krishna becomes pleased, then he gives us more mercy. And that is a cycle. Once you are into this loop, it just goes on, and there is no end. Just like they say, infinity, you know, like a circle. It goes round and round and round. There is no beginning or end then, because you are stuck in that transcendental loop of the mercy of the Guru, mercy of Krishna, through the spirit of devotional service. So it is very important that we take this instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam to heart and make ourselves perfect, as Sukadeva Goswami says here. Kindly hear me with great attention, and unless until we do that, we will not make advancement. Then of course, the next verse, Sukadeva Goswami is going into the words of Krishna, that Krishna is leading all these young boys out of the danger. Just moments before, they were going to be devoured by the python Agasura. And if they had gone deeper into the belly of the Agasura, then I don't know if you know how pythons survive. They take the whole prey into their body, complete. Not like you and I, that we take bits and pieces and chew, you know. He takes the whole thing inside, and then he coils up very tight and squashes every bone in the prey of the whatever the python has eaten. And then slowly, over the months, he would digest. So of course, this was no ordinary python. It was a demoniac python with very kind of say mystical powers. And he was sent there by Kans to kill Krishna. And in the process, he did not discriminate whether just to kill Krishna or kill the rest of the boys who were with Krishna. And of course, Krishna, he sees this and then says, okay, I'm having none of this. So he kills Agasura, frees the boys, and now the boys and the calves are a little bit traumatized. So Krishna says, okay, I'm going to free you from your traumatized. I'm going to take you to a beautiful place. That beautiful place will be so wonderful that you'll forget the aches and pains of this going into the mouth of Agasura and being traumatized by that. So then, of course, in the next verse, it is explained, description of given of the boys are brought to the banks of River Yamuna, and then Krishna is speaking about the beauty of Vrindavan. And then in the purport, Prabhupada very nicely says that this was 5,000 years ago when Krishna spoke to the cowherd boys about the beauty of Vrindavan, the forest, the birds and the bees, and the fragrance of blooming lotus flowers, and all the trees, Kalpavriksha trees, bearing fruits and flowers, and the aroma of the air is so beautiful. It is completely mesmerizing by the fragrance of this beauty. And if you have ever got an opportunity to go in an orchard full of flowers which are very, very fragrant, it will be amazing. I will go a little bit off track here. One time I was driving down to Florida, all the way from North Florida to South Florida towards Miami. And I came through a patch of 100 miles. And both sides of the 100 miles were orange orchards. And they happened to be blossoming with flowers. And it's so much fragrance, is unbelievable fragrance in the air. So there I was driving down, all my windows wound down and all the beautiful air coming in, this fragrance. And I was driving 100 miles down. And I go so mesmerized by this. I thought, what the hell? I did a reverse and went 100 miles back because it was so pleasing and wonderful fragrance and smell that it kind of brought me to a next level of transcendental platform, I would say, at least in my material sense of being fully absorbed in that fragrance. So I went 100 miles down, 100 miles back, and then I went 100 miles down again. And then I was fully satisfied. So here, the same atmosphere we can imagine, that if we can experience this presently, then how it was then in times of Krishna walking in this beautiful place. And then of course Prabhupada says that this was the same in the previous acharyas 300 to 400 years ago when Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, all the six Goswamis and all the other acharyas who came to Vrindavan, they also saw this Vrindavan. And then of course, later on, when Prabhupada came here and he acquired this beautiful place to give a nice place for Krishna Balaram, because this place is the playground of Krishna Balaram, and at the same time, he brought Radha Samsundar and Lalita Vishakha to give us that highest Madhurya Ras. And of course, how to get to that is first we have to go to Gonitai. Without Gonitai, we cannot make progression. So Prabhupada brought this, and then Prabhupada is saying here that our Krishna Balaram temple is the same atmosphere. It is still prevailing, that atmosphere. Now you come today. Do you hear any of chirping birds and bees? You don't. So I'm sure Panchagora Prabhu, when he came in the early days, when this temple was opening, How was Vrindavan in those days? Of course, I was not fortunate enough to come here during that time of the opening of this temple. But I came to Krishna consciousness a little later in... I came to Krishna consciousness in 75, but fully took, embraced Krishna consciousness in 1979 and moved into the ashram. Of course, I was going to move into the ashram before in 77. But I was unfortunately completely shocked because one and only Srila Prabhupada had left this world, and the news came to us. My friend and myself were visiting Berry Place, and as we were entering the Berry Place, one wonderful Mataji came out running with tears in her eyes. So I've got sad news for you. Srila Prabhupada has left this world. And I was completely shocked. And the first words which came out of my mouth to my friend was, who are we going to take initiation from now? Our guru is gone. And after that, we never imagined that there would be any more Prabhupada, or there won't be any lineage of the parampara continuing. So it took me 2 years to kind of build up confidence when I came. Anyway, the point is that in 1982, the very first time, we are about 25 young boys who had joined the manor in those days. And the policy was at the manor that if after 3 years of serving constantly, you will be rewarded by coming to India. And in those days, we used to have, during Gaur Purnim time, Mayapur Vrindavan festival. So devotees would come to Mayapur and enjoy Gaur Purnim festival, lots of Hari Kirtan, lots of Hari Katha and Parikramas. After that is finished, devotees would jump in the train, come down to Delhi and then come to Vrindavan. And then you have the Vrindavan festival. Of course, nowadays we don't have this festival anymore, but maybe we should reintroduce the spirit. No, Kartik is not. Prabhupada introduced Mayapur Vrindavan festival. We must follow the tradition. So, Kartik is okay. It's a bonus. But when I came here in 1982, this Krishna Balaram temple and the old Nimbalakacharya ashram next door, and across the road, if you look at towards the left, there was the Bon Maharaj Institute with much less development. And as far as the eye can see, there's open land. Nothing there, just open land and trees. And then if you go behind Krishna Balaram temple, as far as I can see up to the Yamuna, it's nothing but fields and trees. No buildings, no nothing. This is what Prabhupada is saying here. That still when you come to Krishna Balaram, you would experience that. But now you come here, we are in the 14th of October 2021. It's a whole different scenario. It has changed. And anybody who reads this description from Srimad Bhagavatam, when Prabhupada said, this is the wonderful experience at our Krishna Balaram temple, would be a little bit disappointed, because the Maya world has crept into the holy dham. And all we see is shops and traffic. In those days when we came to Mathura Junction, and we young guys, very eager to reach our Krishna Balaram temple. No auto rickshaws, no taxis, only horse-drawn tangas. So we got like 15, 20 tangas, load up our baggage, and all we heard from Mathura Junction up to here, no pollution, just the beautiful sound of the horses, horseshoes hitting the tarmac, and that was like kirtan, you know. You can actually chant to that sound, because it was very pleasing. And no noise, no pollution, and no people, hardly any people. And I still remember, I used to sit in the front gate there and imagine how Vrindavan was during the time of Krishna, when he would come with all these covered boys and cows and grazing this field. And if you're sitting in the front gate from morning till evening, you will probably see few tangas coming in with some pilgrims. There were not that many pilgrims. No cars. If you're lucky, you may see an old Bengal ambassador going dag, 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 dag. And that's it. But now, if you want to cross the road on the other side, it is life-threatening. You cannot cross the road without being crushed by the motorcycles, by the auto rickshaws, by the cars, by the animals. It's a whole different scenario. But still, it is okay. Because this Vrindavan is revealed to us by the spiritual master and by the previous acharyas, and a beautiful description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The only way we can experience this Vrindavan is to develop Vrindavan consciousness. Unless and until we develop Vrindavan consciousness, we are going to see the Maya Vrindavan. We are not going to see the Vrindavan Dham of Krishna, the original Vrindavan which Krishna brought here. It is still here, but there is a very thin veil of blanket covering by Maya. And when we come here, we see this Maya Vrindavan. And we are trying to experience the real Vrindavan by seeing the imitation of Vrindavan or Maya Vrindavan. But you cannot get that experience. And many times, devotees come here with great endeavor, hoping they will experience this wonderful Vrindavan Dham and get a nice mercy of the Dham. But what happens? We come from thousands of miles, and first thing we do is we come here, settle down in a very nice, comfortable guest house. Unless until it is not comfortable, we are not happy. Now just imagine, 500 years ago, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, go to Vrindavan, what baggage did they bring to them? No baggage. Because they had full faith. Krishna will provide for us. There was no MVT. There was no Maheshwari Ashram. There was no Bhakti Dham. There's none of these. No Hare Krishna orchids, no NRI greens. Only trees, trees and trees. But they were very happy. You and I, if we had to do the same, we would have a heart attack. We would never come back to Vrindavan. So we come and look for these material facilities. But we don't come here because, as I mentioned earlier on, we come to Vrindavan Dham to free ourselves from attachments. Become detached from all these things. We already have comforts where we are. And we give up those comforts to come to Vrindavan. Why? To do little austerities. Do little penances. For what? For pleasing Krishna. And when Krishna sees you are making great endeavor to please Him, then He will show His mercy upon you. The next, we want to go and look for palatable food stuff. So we go to Govinda's or we go to MVT restaurant. You won't find Krishna there. And after we have satisfied ourselves with good comfortable accommodations, and the belly is full of wonderful palatable foodstuffs from Govinda or MVT, then we head to Loi Bazaar. And the entire period of our stay in Vrindavan Dham, more than 50% we spend in Loi Bazaar. You won't find Krishna loitering in Loi Bazaar. Because it is mentioned here, Krishna is with his cowherd boys and the cows and grazing the cows. So this is what we have to look for. Not Loi Bazaar. But still, anyway, this is how we are conditioned. So when we come to the Holy Dham, we should be free from all these things. We should spend the least amount of time in these places. And most of the time when we come here, we go from this shop to this shop to this shop to this shop. They're all selling the same things. And almost the price is also the same. But because we have that nature, I will bargain and try to bring out the lowest price. You can go across the road and get the same stuff instead of going all the way to the other end of the bazaar. But no. It's 10 rupees expensive. You'll pay 50 rupees to go there and get 10 rupees cheaper. But then you're spending 50 rupees just to go there. So you're not making any sense, is it? So we have to use our intelligence. Krishna has given us intelligence. So we have to use our intelligence to overcome these attachments. Is that the end of class? Okay. So I will have to stop here. The gongs are telling me time up. So I will stop here. If anybody has any comments or any questions, maybe 5 minutes.
About practical service, you're mentioning that if you're cooking or cleaning the room, or one time Prabhupada was going around and one devotee kept saying, Jai Shri Prabhupada, why don't you do something practical? So when we hear, but when one is on a higher level, he also is very busy, like Prabhupada was pushing us and whipping us, go on, you know, double the book distribution. So you hear, answer, then it's also perfection. So it's not like that by doing certain, you have to hear.
Yeah, but that's the point. You see, if your hearing is good, then automatically it will bring you to the platform of service, because ultimately serving the mission's work is as good as one sense chanting. But it doesn't mean that we replace our chanting by service. We do both. Because chanting is actually will make us more fixed in our service, and our service will then become much more better. So everything is a package. You cannot go with one. Just like, you know, when you open a new instrument and it's all loose pieces are in there, and there's a manual instructing, you put this piece here, you put this piece here, and when you put all the pieces together, that equipment works first class and perfect. So we have to put all the components of bhakti together. It starts with sravana, and if the hearing is good, if we observe in the instructions given by the spiritual master, then our service also becomes wonderful and it complements each other. And then, of course, we are on our way. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, when we don't hear and we just keep on doing service, it will not last for a long time, the service.
Yeah, because the service, you see, is like you have a nice car, you fill it up with gasoline, and you keep driving down the highway. And you think, well, I'm going fast, no problem. Eventually you run out of gasoline. Then what happens? So Harinam, chanting and hearing, is your gasoline. So you have to refill every time.
Also, we may not hear the chirping of the birds here, but we're hearing the holy name 24 hours.
That is a bonus, I would say, by the mercy of Ayendra Prabhu, who introduced this 24-hour chanting here as Prabhupada's instruction.
And lastly, if you want to hear really the chirping of the birds, you have to go close to Yamuna early in the morning. Because the birds, there's no more trees practically here. And there's still a lot of trees on that side.
Who is eager to go there?
I do. I go every day.
Okay. So maybe what you should do, Janardhan Maharaj, is make a party and take a whole bunch of devotees with you to give them this wonderful experience of chirping birds and Yamuna. But next year, don't do Jiva Jabba, as Panjagora Prabhu says.
So there is a story of Ramananda Chandra, where he was supposed to give a lecture to all of the disciples from the Sannyasis. And there was one disciple who was always engaged in his Guru, sentient Guru. And so one time, when Raghunatha was, because he was not speaking, he was sitting up something, his one disciples. Everyone was wondering, how come Guru Maharaj is not speaking? Like, what happened was that, his disciple, he was engaged in service, so he was waiting for him to come to return. So for this subject, so they may not stay on that disciple's channel. So it means the status of the guru, Vishana Guru, is actually very, very highly important people.
Yes, well, as I said, hearing and then service. Because what is hearing is instructions. And instructions then gives us ideas of what service we should render. We do speculative service, but it should be under proper bona fide instructions, guidance, and then success comes. Okay, I think we are running out of time. Jai Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sri Sri Sanada Sam Sundar ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.